My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's head to the phone lines right now, switch gears and talk a little bit of college football. Rob, I know you and I are very excited about the start of the college football season. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Bill Conley. He covers college football for ESPN. Bill, happy to have you on the show. I do want to get to the local teams here coming up in a bit, but let's start with the game that is the most interesting tonight, going to be the highest rated thing on television tonight. What do you make of Colorado? What do you think of the game tonight between Colorado and North Dakota State?
Well, I love that this game comes up immediately because, I mean, the major question for Colorado this year, last year they had two good players. They had a few other decent players. They had no line play whatsoever. And so, you know, Deion Sanders, it seems like he has upgraded in that regard. But, you know, North Dakota State, we don't know if they're going to be able to throw. They're not quite as good as they were a few years ago, but we know they're going to be super mean on the lines, especially on the offensive line. And so we'll find out really quickly if Colorado's up to that test. So, yeah, I don't think if this was like 2018 North Dakota State, I think I'd be predicting a Bison win. I assume that Colorado gets it done, but it could take them a little while.
Colorado's over-under is 5.5. So, basically, do you think Colorado is going to make a bowl game this year? The second half of their schedule is difficult. Yeah. I'm taking the under on Colorado. I don't think they're making a bowl game. Where do you stand on the Buffaloes?
Yeah, I'm leaning under. It's a lean. They'll have a chance, but they improved last year. This was a horrible team 2 years ago, and so in my SP Plus rankings, they improved from the 120s to the 80s. That's good. It wasn't what anybody expected, but it was solid. I could see them jumping further, maybe into the 50s this year. But 50s isn't going to get you many wins in the Big 12. Big 12 might not have top 5 teams, but they have a whole lot of top 30, top 40 teams, and it does feel. I just don't think they have the depth and experience that other Big 12 teams have. So I'm thinking 5-7 is most likely, but they will have a chance. They will still have two of the best players in every game they play, and we'll see if those lines hold up.
So let's keep it local here. Let's get to the Missouri Tigers. They have the best odds of all the three local teams to make the college football playoff. I think the feeling around Missouri is there is a lot of continuity, especially on offense with Brady Cook and all of the weapons, and if you had to randomize a schedule in the SEC, I'm not sure if you could pick a much better one than the one that Missouri has. I mean, it's not the easiest schedule you have ever seen. There are fewer pitfalls than you usually would have for an SEC schedule.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they timed it perfectly. Their most experienced and probably high-ceiling team in quite a while with the easiest schedule they're ever going to have in the new SEC. And I realize that non-con schedule is kind of just this weird little accident. They've played better teams in non-conference before, and it just didn't come together this year. But, yeah, I mean, you can kind of set it up to where – you know, you get off to a solid start. Obviously, if they lose any of their first, five games or so, it'll be a pretty big upset, especially if Boston College doesn't really have anything to offer, and I don't think they will. But then you've got the benchmark game, the A&M game. You've got, you know, the Auburn game at home that a playoff-level team will win, even if Auburn's still pretty good. And then you've got the back-to-back, the Alabama-Oklahoma pair that'll kind of define the whole thing. So it'll be, you know, it's so hard to project like a 12 team, you know, will 10-2 be enough and whatnot, because every year is extremely different in the number of 10-2 teams it produces. But they're going to give themselves a shot, I think, and they certainly seem to have both the depth and the confidence.
This is how I see it. I think there's going to be four Big Ten teams, four SEC teams. Mm-hmm. I think the ACC and the Big 12 are going to split three teams, maybe two in one league, one in the other, vice versa. And then you'll get one group of five school. Yeah. So I look at it for Missouri, same thing for KU, same thing for K-State. I mean, you need to finish at least top four in the SEC, and if you were in the Big 12, you need to be at play in the championship game to have an argument to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 is going to be the most fun race to follow. It was so many teams close together in terms of talent and experience and all that. It's going to be a blast, except, you know, the winner could very well be 10-3 or something to that effect, and it's just going to be really hard for them to beat up on each other and not you know, have everybody lose some games. So, I think it's going to be a very high call. I think it's on average better than the ACC, but it's just going to be really hard for them to produce two playoff teams. And I agree with that 4-4-4 kind of breakdown, but Notre Dame also has to count in the ACC pile, and they might steal the ACC's second bid as well. So that'll be really – it'll be interesting. I mean, it's easy to – every year is different, but it does feel like on average we're basically looking like at about a 4-4-4 situation.
I kind of feel like we're going to have our answer about Notre Dame pretty early on here with that game on the road against Texas A&M. Obviously, with the playoff, you have a little bit more wiggle room, but I mean, that's one of those games that at the end of the season, you're right, you know, if you are 11-2, 10-2, a win on the road at College Station is going to go a long way to having a very important tiebreaker.
Yeah, if Florida State, I mean, they could turn out to be just fine this year, but they certainly didn't look just fine. They didn't look like a playoff-caliber team last weekend, and if they're not, Notre Dame doesn't have hardly any of those on the schedule. They have three projected top 30 teams in my SP Plus rankings. One of them is A&M, then you've got Florida State and USC. USC could be anything at the end of the year, from playoff contender to not even a quality win. And so, yeah, my recommendation is to win that game because you're not going to have that many opportunities this year to really, really get a good resume win. And starting 0-1 will probably mean they have to win out to feel confident.
Right now, we're talking to Bill Connolly of ESPN. I guess I want to wrap up with Missouri before we get to K-State. I have a slight bet on Missouri to make the postseason. Are you on that board? Do you think Missouri's making the postseason this year?
They're going to have a really good chance. It's I think, you know, the numbers from FPI and my SP Plus, it's like the 40-50% range, and that feels about right to me. They, you know, they're going to have a really good chance to get to 10-2. They're not going to have quite as good a resume as other 10-2 teams, but a lot of times I think just getting to 10-2 and you're in. So if they can do better than that, that'd be obviously much more favorable. But I guess I keep coming back to they went 4-0 in one score games last year. That's going to be three of those came early before they kind of clicked and they were really good. But even you think about the Florida game late in the season and the kind of the miracle that it took in that final minute, it's hard to do that 2 years in a row. And it feels like even if they go 2-1 against Alabama, A&M, and Oklahoma, or 1-2, I should say, there's probably another loss somewhere in there if a game's close. It's hard to do that twice. So I don't know. I lean slightly toward them falling short, but they're going to have a really good chance.
So I'm looking at the Big 12 here as we transition to KU and K-State. And if you look at the media preseason poll, so Utah was 1, K-State was 2, Oklahoma State 3, KU was 4, and Arizona 5. And then I look at K-State's schedule. K-State doesn't play Utah this year. They play Oklahoma State at home. They play KU at home. They don't play Arizona, at least in a conference setting. Right. The same thing that we just said about Missouri, you can say a lot of those same things for K-State and their schedule and how this year it feels like it could come together where K-State could win 9 or 10 games, which could be enough to get you to win the Big 12, could get you in the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take – you know, no matter who's on the schedule, it's going to take a bunch of close wins, I think, to win it. But you're right. They certainly, especially with Arizona not counting, they'll get kind of a little status check for themselves. But if they lose, it won't matter. I have them right now projected with the second highest win total behind Utah and in conference. And, yeah, you can certainly see why. I do love the, you know, we have Utah. I understand why they're the favorites. I need to see all those guys that were hurt last year. I need to actually see them healthy and back to where they were 2 years ago before I really all the way believe in Utah. But clearly they've got that kind of potential. Iowa State and Oklahoma State are both absurdly experienced. Kansas has maybe the best quarterback that people still aren't necessarily talking about a lot just because he hasn't been healthy. Arizona, of course, has the quarterback receiver. There's just a lot to offer here, and I really am excited about the race as a whole. I don't know if I'm confident in any one team to make a pick, though. I guess I'll just follow the pack and say Utah.
What is it about Utah that you think, I guess, kind of separates them from K-State, where I think, the odds suggest that as well. Those two teams are pretty close, but you give Utah the slight advantage. Is it quarterback with Cam Rising, the fact that he has some experience where Avery is, I know he played last year, but a first-year starter. Is that what separates Utah and K-State?
I guess. I mean, it really is close. I think Utah, their offensive line situation might be a hair better, but really it's kind of a bird in hand situation where we know what Cam Rising is, if he's healthy. Again, everybody's just kind of assuming he's going to be fine and 100% Cam Rising now. He probably, Avery Johnson is very tantalizing and has the recruiting rankings, could be a really, really big deal, but we just haven't seen him as much as we've seen Cam Rising. Therefore, we give, the known entity the edge, I guess.
Let's talk about KU here. It's funny because there's a handful of these teams in the NFL, like the Jets or that kind of team, or Cleveland's that team, where you really like their roster, but you're unsure about the quarterback position. There's a lot of reasons to like Kansas coming into this football season, but none of us have any clue what's going to happen because I'm not sure if their quarterback is going to stay healthy or not. They feel very unique in that regard compared to some of the viable playoff contenders.
Yeah, I mean, if you promise me 13 games of Jalen Daniels, I'll tell you Kansas is probably winning 9-10 games at least, because their schedule, they don't, it isn't, they don't have a sure loss on the schedule at all, really. Non-conference is obviously pretty manageable, although I guess Illinois and UNLV are could beat them under the right circumstances. But no, it's if he's healthy, then you start to look at the Daniels and Devin Neal backfield and experience on the receiving core, a defense that still isn't very good, but is probably deeper with experience, especially at the front and back, than they have been so far. You could certainly talk yourself into that. It's just, we talked ourselves into Jalen Daniels last year, and he barely played, and now they don't have Jason Bean coming off the bench, and it makes it hard to completely trust them in that regard.
Bill, I want to get some of your national thoughts on this. Give me a playoff sleeper. I don't know necessarily if they would fit under the sleeper category, but I really like Miami. I like Miami to win the ACC. I also like them to, the same way we were talking about how I think three teams between the ACC and Big 12 end up making the postseason. I like Miami to be one of those three teams.
Yeah, I think, if we consider anybody outside like the top 10 as a potential sleeper, Miami is really interesting. Tennessee's really interesting. If we're talking, we were talking about Avery Johnson at Kansas State, and unknowns and everything. If you tell me that Nico's awesome, then Tennessee's really, really good. Their defense took a nice step forward. They might have the best defensive player in college football in Pierce. If you tell me that their five-star first-time starter is going to play like a five-star, then they really suddenly don't have many weaknesses, and they could make a nice charge up the rankings. So that's certainly one we'll know that one pretty quick. It won't take long to figure out if Tennessee has it or not, but I am very, very curious because I think their potential is really, really high.
I have four teams as playoff locks, and I'm curious to get your input on that. I think Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas. I would be very, very surprised if those four teams just outright missed the postseason. Do you have more locks than that or fewer locks than the four that I gave?
Yeah, I mean, I guess nobody's a lock. Like, Georgia has three really hard road games, and there's like a, 1 in 100 scenario where they lose all three and they're on the outside looking in or something. But yeah, Georgia, Ohio State are pretty obvious top two. And then Texas, Oregon are pretty obvious 3-4. You've got Alabama, Michigan, who are absolute mysteries with so much turnover, but also lots of five-star talent. So I think that's where I draw the line. After that, anything can happen. Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, A&M, lots of SEC teams are going to think they can make a run. Notre Dame's got the schedule. If they beat A&M, then suddenly that schedule starts to look very friendly. It's a lot of teams after that, but it'll take quite a bit for those top four teams not to make it.
Right now, we're talking to Bill Connelly here for a couple more minutes. He works at ESPN. Just getting his thoughts on college football. I'll ask you a random toss-up question. Who do you think has more pressure on them heading into the season? Do you think it's Ryan Day at Ohio State, or do you think it's Kalen DeBoer at Alabama?
Yeah, right. At this exact moment, it's Ryan Day. I mean, if he loses to Michigan again, he legitimately, there's a non-zero chance he gets fired despite, like, the greatest winning percentage in Ohio State history, I'm pretty sure. So that's certainly, you know, they, with the amounts they clearly spent in NIL and you know, making sure this roster is absolutely stocked, I think it obviously starts there. But DeBoer's thing is really a different type of pressure. It doesn't really, it's not going to really change until something, he does something that's Saban didn't do. He loses a game that not even like last year Saban, but just the kind of the aura of Saban wouldn't have let happen. And as soon as that happens, everybody starts talking about, well, coach did it this way, coach did it this way. That's just like a noisy situation that could eventually take him down. But I'm not... Kalen DeBoer has been awesome at every football job he's ever had, and if he gets a fair shot, and you know, the guy who succeeds the legend doesn't always get that, I do think he's going to turn out pretty well. But for 2024, it's Ryan Day for sure, I think.
I would say that we have four major games this weekend: Clemson and Georgia, Penn State, West Virginia. We've got Miami and Florida. You know, we got a handful of good games, and then the nightcap, Notre Dame, Texas A&M. We've also got the games on Saturday and Sunday. What's your favorite game for week one?
Yeah, I think I have the most questions about Notre Dame A&M. That's a really nice headliner because just from a pure curiosity standpoint, I want to see both of those teams play, and obviously, you know, you get some stakes as well. As far as just entertainment possibilities go, LSU-USC sounds like an absolute blast to me. I know it's not the last game of the week, but it feels kind of like the nightcap here. And, you know, they have two quarterbacks who will probably be good, two new defensive coordinators who recent history suggests will struggle, even though they have nice resumes and could succeed. So that feels like a nice 49-45 game to end the week. I'll be kind of disappointed if it's not that.
That is Bill Connolly joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work covering college football. We're certainly going to have him join us a couple times over the course of the season. I'm really excited for college football season. The playoff has really added a
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shot of enthusiasm about the start of the season. It's going to be a really fun year. Bill, I really appreciate your content, man. Love following you on ESPN, man. Excited for a great year of college football.
Absolutely. Take care.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.